Sun ain't shining, the nights are just too long, and the weight of it all brings you to your knees. Well, I've been where you are when God just seemed so far, and I needed to be reminded too. It's easy to forget in times like this. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, and He cares about everything you're going through. Your name is engraved on the palm of His hands, and that's a promise you can hold on to. It's easy to forget in times like this. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So wonderful to know that Jesus loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful song. We had our Allen reunion today, and it was good to see the folks, but our crowd has somewhat diminished from what it used to be. It wasn't too many years ago. I remember as a small boy, we had our family reunion out in the country at a little country church, and we had the dinner out in little tables outside, and it wasn't uncommon to have probably 130, 150 people there. And today, there just was not that many. But then we begin to think that in our reunion down here, there's a bigger reunion going on in heaven. And so many of our folks have gone. We were talking about generations today and three and four generations. And our immediate family, all my aunts and uncles on the Allen side have already gone home to be with the Lord. The last one left about 2.5 years ago, and her husband was here today. But you know, it's kind of sad, but that's just going to make heaven that much sweeter, isn't it? Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Well, life's been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise. I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen for His grace. There's an older song that says, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. How many can relate to that? Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to enjoy the songs of praise and worship tonight. If you've enjoyed the songs, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. One thing I do know, God is great. The Bible says greatly to be praised. Amen. He's upholding his end of the bargain. I wonder if we are sometimes. I wonder if we praise him as greatly as he is. And I think so many times I fail, amen, to give the Lord praise and honor and glory for all that he does. Sometimes we have the mindset that if God immediately answers a prayer, then we'll praise him. But, you know, I'm finding out even if God doesn't answer a prayer, I'm going to praise him anyway. Man, I've got too much to praise him for. I could never thank him enough for what he's already done. And by faith, I believe he's not finished yet. I still believe that there's a lot of things that the Lord is going to do in this day and hour that we live in. If we ever needed a move of God, folks, we need it in the day and hour that we're living in now. Praise God. My granddaddy used to tell me, son, we're living in perilous times, and he's been dead since 1986. And if he could see what's going on in the year 2018, he really would quote that scripture, because we are living in perilous times. But even in perilous times, we got a mighty God. Amen. Even in turbulent times, we got a God that will not forsake us. He will be there with us at all times. If you have your Bible with you tonight, go with us to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. In the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy tonight, the writings of Moses here. In chapter number 31, I want to focus on verses 7 and 8 tonight. Deuteronomy, chapter number 31, verses 7 and verse number 8. Praise God. How many are going to pray for the preacher tonight? All right. We desire your prayers. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord had sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Can we bow our heads in prayer tonight? Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing tonight? Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. If I had a message text, it would be simply taking the words from the written word of God tonight. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In other words, don't become broken in spirit, depressed, or unnerved. Here we find that a long journey is about to come to an end. The fulfillment of God's word is just about ready to take place in the form of the children of Israel going in and possessing the land that God had promised to them. We find that Moses is a little bit road weary now. He's seen a lot of things. He has experienced a lot of situations. He's seen the hand of God move mightily in his life. Amen. If you ever just believe or want to understand the move of God, read the first five books of the Bible and see how that God's hand was miraculous in the way that he came on the scene for his people. And Moses, understanding and knowing the story of Moses and how that God dealt with him and brought him
from Egypt and saved his life when he was just a little babe in the basket in the bulrush, and when all other little Hebrew babies were being killed. How many knows that God had a purpose for Moses, and he raised him up, and he went out and became very familiar with the land that he would in fact be going over, and began to take care of the sheep for his father-in-law in anticipation. Little did he know, but God had a plan that he was going to be the shepherd of not sheep, but the shepherd of the children of Israel. And now we find that Moses is preparing Joshua for the great event of the entering in of the land of Canaan, the possession of the land that has been promised to this particular people. And I can almost envision Moses as he's probably weathered many, many storms, and probably his hair has become somewhat color of Brother Jim's and mine, and maybe there's a lot more wrinkles there than there once was, but there's still the joy of the Lord that is in his heart, still the mighty miracles that he has written, and the testimony thou that God will see you through, and he's going to pass this on to Joshua, and in front of all of Israel, he calls this young man Joshua, and you got to be familiar with Joshua. Joshua has been a right-hand man of Moses. He's been there during the bad times. He's been there to help Moses through the battles and be an encourager. He, along with Caleb, spied the land and saw what the other 10 spies could not see because of the faith that Caleb and Joshua had, and saw and knew that God was on their side and they could go in and prevail on this land. And Joshua had proven himself. Not only was he true to Moses, not only was he reverent and submissive and obedient to God, but he was mighty in valor and seemed to be the perfect choice and the first perfect pick for God to use to take the reins of leadership as they prepared to go into the land of promise. And Moses began to speak to Joshua, and he began to give him words of encouragement as well as words of direction. And he said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them." I think the key word there is must go. There's a time, amen, when we don't have an option. There's a time when the hand of God is upon our life. There's a time when God ordains and moves upon our life to do certain things. And it's not really an option that we have. If we want to be submissive and truly obedient unto God, then we have to undertake the calling that God has laid upon our heart. And this is what Moses was conveying unto him. And I think out throughout the Bible that God had ordained this and blessed this, even as the Apostle Paul began to mentor Timothy and so many other times that we find that the men of God would sort of take the younger ones under their wing and begin to share with them. And this is what Moses was doing to Joshua. And he said in verse 8, "And the Lord," you know, understand, Joshua, that you're not going into this alone. You're not going to this unprepared, because God, your Lord, is going to be with you. Can I encourage you tonight that whatever you are about to undertake, whatever situation that may be arising in your life, and I'm not prophesying here by no means, but I do feel like that God is on the threshold of opening up doors and blessings and anointing for people who have been praying and seeking for a move of God. The reason I feel that within my heart, the reason I feel that within my spirit, because I feel there's been a rumbling in hell. I believe that the mighty demons have felt that God's about to do something. I believe with all of my heart there's going to be a pouring out. There's going to be anointing. Amen. There's certain things that you begin to feel and anticipate, especially if you've been seeing the evidence of God moving in years past. And many, many times when God is getting ready to do something, I believe Satan realizes it ever before the church realizes it sometimes. And Satan tries to come in and he tries to sow discord. And he tries to do this and he tries to do that. And that only gives me further evidence that God's about to put his hand in it. God is about to move. God is about to rain down blessings and anointings. I don't have any way of knowing. God has not revealed anything to me. There's just every once in a while you sort of feel it. Amen. Every once in a while it begins to touch the top of your head and go down to the soles of your feet. And can I tell you, I feel it. Devil, once in a while, when you walk out into the outside and you look at the clouds and you feel that little bit of moisture in the air, and there's a real stillness, and all of a sudden you hear it from several yards away, if not maybe even a mile away. There begins to be a rumbling and a blowing of the wind, and finally it begins to blow the treetops where you're standing. And many times, and I just stood in awe and look at God's greatness and feel the oncoming of a storm, oncoming of a wind and a rain, and no. And then all of a sudden, a few little drops begin to splatter on the pavement where I'm standing, and I know to get under shelter because there's about to come an abundance of rain. Can I tell you, I feel it in my spirit. Can I tell you, I feel a tingling. I feel a rumbling. I feel that God's anointing, it may come in the form of a little bit of sprinkling, but sooner or later, there's going to come an abundance of rain, amen, an abundance of blessings and anointing upon those who are looking forward to it. Moses began to share this type of experience with Joshua, and he said, the Lord is going to be with you. He said, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Then he said these words, fear not, neither be dismayed. Church, can I tell you tonight, fear not, neither be dismayed. Husbands, can I tell you tonight, amen, fear not, neither be dismayed. Wives, children, mothers and fathers tonight, whatever the situation may be, whatever you're about to face, whatever even has already transpired in your life, you may think, amen, that there's something that you're not going to be able to get over. You may think that there's something arising in your life that's going to cause turmoil. But can I tell you, from the words of Moses himself, I believe as a moving of God was upon him, fear not, and neither be dismayed. Amen. Why do we fear not? Because God is greater than any problem. God is greater than any trial. God is greater than anything that we'll ever face. Be not dismayed. If you read the Amplified, it says, don't be unnerved. Amen. Church, it's time. Amen. Not to be unnerved. Not to be moved. Amen. By the enemy. Amen. But stand still. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty that God has given us. Be not moved. Amen. With the things of this world, because God will be with thee. Joshua needed to hear that. Man, Joshua had been alongside of Moses, and he had backed Moses, and he had helped Moses, but he never had been in the reins of leadership, and he needed to know and understand from this wise man what he was about to embark on, the things that he would face. And little did he realize that those words would echo in his mind and in his heart again in just a short period of time, as they begin to march and they begin to prepare to go into the land of promise. And amen, little did he realize that he was going to face the walls that he was about to face. Can I tell you, sometimes the promise comes before you see the walls. Can I tell you, sometimes that God said, don't worry about it, I'm going to make those walls fall. And we get all excited because that's, we haven't seen the walls yet. But a little period of time down the passed by the way, and then Joshua was standing with the children of Israel, and God said, see, I've given you this city of Jericho. And I want you to understand tonight, when God tells you, I have given it to you, you may not be able to see it with your natural eye. You may not even be able to see it with a little bit of evidence. But can I make you understand tonight, God sees what we can't see. Amen. We see walls, God sees victory. Amen. We see things, amen, between us, and God says, I can make those walls fall flat. Which he did. The walls of Jericho. Joshua's faith is built up, and he's all excited about what God's doing. Can I tell you tonight, there may be some walls, and those walls may look impenetrable to the naked eye. Many, many times in my walk with God, I've seen walls seemingly like they're put up overnight, brother. We didn't see that coming. Where did that come from? But can I tell you, if we put our faith and trust in God, God will tear those walls down. He'll bring those walls down. There'll be no division between you and your blessing. Glory to God. I think it's time, amen, by faith we begin to reach out and claim our blessing. I believe we need to receive that blessing from God that is so freely given. I think we don't need to be afraid to possess it. I think we don't need to be afraid to call it done. In the name of Jesus, we need more saints to stand up and declare that God is a miracle performing God. I may not be able to see it, but praise God, by faith I believe it. I call it done. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. Amen. I don't have to see it to believe it. Amen. My God is a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He can do what no doctor can do. He can do what no lawyer can do. Amen. God can and will do anything for a people who will believe him. Hallelujah. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I'm seeing a time now where a little shepherd boy on an errand from his father to take some food and some refreshments and some victuals to his brethren, to the army of Israel, the same anointed children of God that Joshua took the reins of leadership, God's anointed people. We find many, many times after walls fall, after blessings are bestowed, there comes a time in our life when a giant stands in the valley. An impossibility in the eyes of man. And this little shepherd boy arrives in his little cart, and those that are with him, he tells them to kind of hold the cart, and he's going to go and see how his brothers are doing. So he walks up and he begins to hear a roar. He begins to hear the noise and the sound of an enemy. Let me tell you something, folks. The enemy loves to voice his opposition. The enemy loves to roar. Amen. And make threats and come against God's people and come against the ministry. And he loves to threaten and blow out all of these rantings and ravings. And the little shepherd boy goes up and there's a challenge. And I thought it quite unique that the Bible refers to this giant that is standing in the valley as the champion of the Philistines. Can I tell you that sometimes the people's champion is not God's champion? Come on. People's champion sometimes has to be a large specimen, has to be one of great intellect, has to be one of renowned or something like that. But let me tell you, God can take a little shepherd boy whose faith is in him and not in man, whose faith is in the power of God and not what is in his hand. God can take a little shepherd boy. God can take a little child, as Sister Jennifer was talking about, and bless and anoint through that mighty little hand of amen that's willing to believe and put faith in God. And David, for the life of him, can't understand why the children of Israel, why his brothers, and why Saul and all of these other men of honor are standing around shaking and quivering and trembling, because the giant Goliath has made a charge. He said, "Send your man out. And if he prevail, the Philistines will be your servants. But if I prevail, then you will be the Philistines' servants." And Saul and the children of Israel hunkered down for fear. And David says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I will go out and fight this giant. I will go out." What happened to David? I believe he heard the words, "Fear not, and be thou and not be dismayed. Fear not, for I will be with thee. Amen. I will guide thee. I will help thee. Amen. Those words that Moses gave to Joshua, amen, I believe they passed on down. I believe that that same God is still using today. I know he blessed Joshua. I know he blessed Moses. I know he blessed David. But I believe he needs to tell the church tonight, and I believe he is trying to, that we'll listen. Fear not and be thou not dismayed. Amen. I will go with thee. I will lead thee. I will never forsake thee. I will always be with you. Amen. And there may be giants right now coming against you. Giant situations, giant problems, giant issues that seemingly come in bunches. Amen. We can't seem to get victory over one till another one begins to come. I've heard people say that time and time again. If it was just one thing, I think I could get victory, but it just comes in waves and comes in waves. Fear not. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. You know the outcome. Amen. Can imagine that the smirk on the giant's face is on his face as maybe little David runs out and stops by the little brook there and picks him up 5 stones and puts them in his shepherd bag and takes his sling. And oh, Saul tried to armor him. He tried to put a helmet on him and a breastplate on him. And David says, I can't use that. I haven't tried them. I haven't proven them. Let me just go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And that's what he told Goliath. He said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know, the devil doesn't like to hear that. He wants you to come against him in your power and in your knowledge and your strength. But you know what? I found out that my power and my strength and my knowledge alone is not enough to fight the enemy. But I found out he is afraid of that name, Jesus. He's afraid of that that is within me. That that is within me is greater than anything I can face. So I don't come to him in my strength. I come to him in the name of the Lord. He may come with a spear and a sword, but I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. And he let that rock go out of the sling, and it found its mark. Amen. Why? Because the little shepherd boy decided that I'm not going to fear that giant. I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm not going to be unnerved. Amen. My God has seen me through everything up to this point. I've killed the bear. I've killed the lion. I've protected the father sheep. This Philistine is nothing more, amen, to my God than that little lion or that little bear. Amen. I'm just going to be the vessel that God's going to get the glory. Amen. And when you go in the name of the Lord, there is nothing that can stand between you and victory. Fear not. Be not dismayed. As we go on in time, I'm reminded of a general who needed to win a battle. His name was Gideon. Let me tell you something. I believe we have some spiritual Gideons today. Let me tell you something. We size up the enemy. We sneak up to the hilltop and we look over and we see the enemy. And the Bible tells us that they saw the enemy as grasshoppers lined on the field. They were just covered. This is the enemy. And the first thing we realize that there's no way we're going to be able to beat them or overcome them. And then the Lord speaks to us and tells us, no, I've already given you this battle. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Oh, if I can't get nothing else across to you tonight, I want you to understand, fear not and be not dismayed. Those are not Brother Eddie's words. Those come straight out of the Bible. Amen. I will assure you they will help you. The next time you have a controversy in your life, the next time you have adversity in your life, the next time you're facing a giant in the valley, the next time you're facing something that's walled up and you can't see no victory, amen, just recite these words over and over. Fear not and be not dismayed. Fear not and be not dismayed. Fear not and be not dismayed. Glory to God. He will go with you. Hallelujah. But Gideon, let me tell you something. You got too big of an army. Because if you go out and win this battle, you're going to give yourself praise. Your army's too big. Something about 42,000. You got too many. I don't know any general anywhere that's ever complained. I got too many soldiers. Amen. I got too many tanks. I got too much artillery. Amen. They want to have as much as they can. But when they do that, they will lift themselves up. But let me tell you something. All you really need is God. Amen. David didn't need an entire army. All he needed was the Lord God to go with him. And told Gideon, he said, you know what? Tell all of those that are afraid to go home. Amen. Boy, did his army get whittled down in a hurry. Amen. I forgot now exactly how many of them left. You Bible readers may know exactly. But anyway, he said, you still got too many, Gideon. He said, you bring them down to the brook and I'll try them. Amen. And an army of 42,000 got whittled down to 300 men. Because they lapped the water as a dog would. And God said, these are the ones that I want to choose. I want these 300 men. And we're going to go and win the battle. And I imagine Gideon saying, Lord, have mercy. Give anything to have those 42,000 back. But Gideon had faith. Why? Because I think he's heard some of the same words that God had echoed down through time. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Well, I'll go with you. But Lord, I only got 300 men. That's all right. Amen. They're not even going to have to sling a spear or shoot an arrow. We're going to win this battle. Glory to God. Now, Gideon, I'm going to tell you one more thing, son. I want you to divide those 300 men up. Sometimes God likes to test our faith. But Lord, I think it'd be better if we all just bunched up together because ain't but 300 of us. He said, no, I want you to divide them up. I want 100 over here, 100 over here, and I want you to lead 100. But God, that's separating me. Listen, fear not and be not dismayed. Can I tell you, God may tell you to do some things. Sometimes it's going to seem awfully strange to you. You know why? Because God likes to work. Amen. When nothing else will. Amen. God works in mysterious ways. Not mysterious to him. God doesn't just happen upon victory. He already knows the victory's coming. It's mysterious to us. So Gideon divides the 300 up into hundreds of each, and they go down. And how many knows that if you Bible readers, when they come out and they said they broke those pitchers and divided them up, and the enemy absolutely was just frustrated, discombobulated, and they began to run and running, stumbling over themselves because God had given the battle, amen, to Gideon and those 300 men. Why? Because they didn't fear and they wasn't unnerved. And they didn't have dismay in their life. But then why are you recounting all these stories? Because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Joshua, he'd do for David. What he did for David, he'll do for Gideon. What he did for Gideon and all of them, he'll do exactly for us if we'll understand and put our faith and trust in God. I'm thinking of a prophet who went before the prophet of Baal. Elijah by name. And they called upon their God to send fire down from heaven. There was a challenge made. And Elijah said, okay. Said, if whoever can call fire down from heaven, let that be the God. And the prophets of Baal, they called and called and called, and never was no fire come down from heaven. The Bible said they threw themselves on the altar, began to cut themselves. And Elijah just kind of stood back and made fun of him. One man against all the prophets of Baal. But let me tell you something. Elijah served the true God. Amen. Not an idol. Amen. He served the true Jehovah God. Then it was Elijah's time. And Elijah said, let's make it a little more interesting. Let's pour some barrels of water on this sacrifice. And they did. Amen. But when he began to call on the name of the Lord, how many remembers the Bible story? Fire came from heaven. Amen. Not only did it quench, not only did it come on and consume the altar, but the Bible says it licked up all the water and the water that was in the trench around it. Amen. Fear not and be not dismayed. Amen. Because Elijah knew it wasn't him. Elijah knew that he didn't need 400 prophets to stand with him. All he needed was Jehovah God. All he needed was the mighty hand of God to move. Church, I'm telling you tonight, all you really need is God on your side. And when God's on your side, mountains can be moved. Giants can be slain. Victories can be won. Amen. Battles can come on your side. Walls can be torn down through the mighty hand of God. How wonderful and great the mighty hand of God is. Through all of these times of victory, through all of these times of miraculous things done by the mighty hand of God. How many knows every once in a while we just need the protecting hand of God? There's been times in my life when I could call on God for healing, and I found Him to be the healer. There's been times when I needed deliverance, and I found Him to be my deliverer. As I came to know the Lord, there was a time I needed Him to be my redeemer, and He became my redeemer. But can I tell you that through the years and through the tests and through the trials and tribulations, and there are plenty, there's sometimes I've just needed His protection. I just needed Him to cover me with His wonderful arms and wrap His spiritual arms around me and protect me, amen, from things that sometimes would try to do us harm, whether it be spiritual, physical, mental, whatever the case may be. And I'm reminded of a precious man of God who still served God even in captivity, even in a strange land, where they did not serve or acknowledge Jehovah God. This man by the name of Daniel took it upon himself to pray 3 times a day outwardly to Jehovah God, to his God. Daniel, you can't do that. If the king finds out about that, surely you'll be cast in a den of lions. But Daniel prayed, opened his window, the Bible says, and he prayed 3 times a day. Those that were against him took that message to the king, and Darius had to back up his word, and he had to put Daniel in the lion's den. Let me tell you, sometimes through no fault of your own, you can be cast into a den of lions. Maybe not those ferocious lions that we see on natural or geographic or whatever they call it, or on television, but it can be some demonic lions that will eat you up and chew at you and try to tear you down. And that's when we need that protecting hand of God. And I can almost see poor Daniel as he's going in and being put into this den of lions and cast, the Bible says, thrown into the den of lions. Let me tell you something. Those that you once fellowship with, those that once you thought were friends, those that once, amen, you could count on, if you're not careful, sometimes they'll be the very ones that will cast you into a roaring den of lions, amen, without any regard. But you know what? My faith is not in man. My faith is not in the wisdom of man. My faith is in Almighty God, and He's never let me down, and He'll never let me down. And I can almost hear that still, small voice. You know, God doesn't have to shout to us to get our attention. Sometimes it's almost just like a whisper, "Fear not. Be not dismayed. But God, I'm going into a den of lions. Fear not. Be not dismayed. But Lord, no one has ever come out of this alive. Fear not. And be not dismayed." The Bible said that all night long, amen, Daniel was in the lion's den. And they never bite. They never came to him to bite him. They never devoured him, because the protecting hand of God can protect us against the evil of this world, the evil of the tongue, the evil of things that come against us. Aren't you glad, amen, that we have a mighty God who also is a God of protection, who also is a God of comfort, who also is a God, amen, that will keep us safe even in dangerous situations? Fear not. Be not dismayed. Church, I tell you again tonight, as I read from the 8th verse again, Moses, the beleaguered, aging saint of God who had withstood so many things, seen so many things, experienced so many things, is now telling his successor. He said, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee." You may not always see Him, but the Lord is going before you. He will be with thee, and He will not fail thee. Listen, I believe those words are not only to Joshua, But I believe those words are to the children of God. I believe they still apply to our life today. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, understand He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Oh, I wish God would just speak to your heart right now. Don't fear. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I know what you're going through. Not me, but I believe God does. I believe He knows the situation. I believe with all of my heart that nothing surprises God, that He's aware of your very need right now. And I can almost hear His Spirit in a still small voice, fear not, neither be dismayed. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. As I said, I don't know your situation. I don't know. Maybe nothing is bothering you whatsoever. And then again, maybe there's things that you're wrestling with, things that are a burden to you, things that you can't explain, things that you're having a great difficulty in time getting victory over. Can I tell you tonight, through the Spirit of the Lord, fear not, neither be dismayed. If you would like to come down to this altar, I will assure you that we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you, but don't expect me to make matters better, because I can't do it. I can pray with you. I can help you believe, but it is God. Amen. It is the power of God that will give you that victory. It is the power of God that will give you deliverance. It's the power of God that will give you peace. Please, while every head is bowed, is there one tonight? Is there one that would come for prayer? Praise God. Hallelujah. While these are coming, is there one that would just lift your hand to let this pastor know you need prayer? I'll be praying with you. I pray that God will make a way. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around and let's have prayer tonight for this need.